Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you will be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message. Somebody knows that text. Either that or they're just excited about the word. Either one is good. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth." And then there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said unto them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Somebody say, epic fail. Epic fail. Man, what a embarrassing situation. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject this morning. Hell knows my name. Hell knows my name. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, hell knows my name. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is quite a story. And it is not a fictitious story. There is an evil spirit that is prevalent in our culture, in our generation. And if you are spiritually inclined and you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, you see things that other people don't see. You hear things that other people don't hear. I can literally watch the news and see people interviewed and just say, that person has an evil spirit in them. That's what caused them to do what they did. Meeting people on the street, just day-to-day life, you meet somebody. And some people would say, I just don't feel good about them. What that is really is the spirit that is warning you that you are now in contact with, or you are in the proximity of something that is anti-Christ. There are way too many people that are looking for the anti-Christ when the anti-Christ should not be your enemy. It is anything that is anti-Christ. It's anti-Christ things that we put before our eyes. It is the anti-Christ things that we allow in our ears that likes to put roots down in our spirit. And so when we understand that the world that we live in is evil, and then we understand who we are in Jesus Christ, that is what keeps us from being so scared and fearful that we don't leave the house in the morning to go to work or to go to school. Because how many of you know, if we didn't have Jesus, we would be a wreck? If I didn't know what the Word of God promised me as a believer, I couldn't watch the news. I don't think I could leave my house. But the fact that I know what the devil is up to, but the fact that I know what Jesus has already done, and I have that spirit residing in me, that's a good place to say amen. It allows me to not fear what the world is saying and what the world is doing. It allows me to boldly leave my home. It allows me to boldly go where no man has gone before. It allows me to boldly go, even if it is to the very gates of hell. I know that those gates cannot prevail against me. And we as believers here in the day that we live in, we have been programmed to be reactionary. When God never destined and never created believers to be reactionary. We are not to be people of reaction. We are supposed to be people of action. If you are always reacting, you are always behind the eight ball. You are always behind where God has destined you to be. The offensive player in any sport always has the advantage because the offensive player always knows where he or she is going, and the defensive player is always making a reaction based on what the offensive player has done. Can I get an amen? But what has happened is a lot of us are on the defensive so much that the adversary always has us running back and forth, to and fro, up one day and down the next because we are playing defense instead of being offensive. God has called us to be people that are people of action, that we're not waiting on the adversary to show up, that we're not waiting on all hell to break loose before we come to God, but we get up and we live a life that is holy and acceptable unto God. We hit the devil before he hits us. We're not always hitting back. We're hitting first in Jesus' name. Luke 9:1 says this. It says that Jesus called all of his disciples. How many of you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? That means you're a believer to the place that you follow. Believing in him only is not enough. Jesus, the Bible says that the devil believes and trembles. Belief is a beginning place. It's not the continuing or the finished product. He said, but disciples, those are us that have believed to the point that we follow. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. Imagine this. There's 5,000 people that he is feeding with fish and loaves. These are Jews. These are people that have believed Jesus enough to follow him out of the city, yet they have not followed him with their life. And because they have followed him out of the city, but not followed him with their life, Jesus says, I can meet their need for lunch, but I cannot bestow on them power and authority, because the only ones that get power and authority are those that are willing to leave the life that they knew before they met me, and they're willing to follow me to the ends of the earth and do everything I have called them to do and commanded them to do. And I'm here to tell you, I love my Jesus, but I'm so glad that I'm not depending on Jesus for a happy meal on Monday, but I followed him to the point that he says, Brandon, because of the way that you follow me, I have no choice but to endow you with a spiritual authority and power. This is what he said. Called his 12 disciples, not the 5,000, the 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils. Power and authority over sick devils. Power and authority over broke devils. Power and authority over divisive in your marriage devils. Power and authority over those devils that would like to run your kids crazy. Power and authority over devils that would keep you from your destiny. Power and authority over every demon and devil imaginable. When he said, when you follow me to the point that it's not for a day and it's not for a season, but you present your life a living sacrifice, he said, I'm about to put everything you need in your life, both power and authority, over all devils. Genesis 1, verse 26. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture because it's the first time we hear from God about man. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you look like God. He made man in his image. That means racism is one of the biggest lies from the adversary, because we all look like God. You say, well, I'm a different color. Well, I'm made in the image of God. We all look like God. He said, I'm going to make man in our image after our likeness, and they will have dominion over the fish, over the sea. There that word dominion is. That word dominion, it means authority. That word dominion comes from the Hebrew word radah. It means to tread down. That means the devil is under your feet, not in front of your face. It means to reign over. That means the devil does not rule over you. You were destined to rule over him. That means whatever lie he's told you, he is out of order. And the Bible says that we are to do everything in decency and in order. And I'm here to tell you, as a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian, you have the authority to put the devil back in his place. You don't have to have the bishop pray a special prayer. You don't have to fly across the country to get somebody to lay hands on you or to blow on you. I'm here to tell you, you can shake yourself out of a slumber at 2 a.m. on Tuesday and put the devil right back under your feet. How many parents we got in the house? Y'all remember when your teenager got enough guts or they were crazy enough to challenge you that first time? And you had to explain the way more clearly to them. And what we all say is some derivative of, this is my house and my rules. Understand that when the devil comes onto your turf, it ain't his turf. It's your turf. So you have the same right to talk to him like you did that disrespectful teenager and say, this is my house and my rules. You can't bring division in here. You can't bring corruption in here. You can't bring that lying in here. You can't bring that mess in here. This is my house. To reign means to make someone do what you want them to do. Dominion, radah in Hebrew also means to rule over. It also means to take back. Somebody ought to praise God. 2018 is the year of the take back for you. You just needed to have some preacher remind you in the middle of January, you are God's chosen. You are not just one of the leftovers. You are one of the best that God has. And when you realize that God has not forgot about you on the backside of nowhere, but everything, David, that you've been doing has prepared for you to meet a Goliath in the valley of your life and take dominion. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Somebody say the ocean. Over the fowl of the air. Somebody say the air. Over the cattle and over all earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Somebody say the earth. There's three dimensions that God talks about here. He talks about the air. He talks about the sea. He talks about earth. The highest, the place that has not been discovered the most and not been studied and we haven't done a very good job. We send people to the moon, but the place on earth that we know the least about is not in the air, it's in the water. There are species that we don't even know exist because nobody has the guts enough to go that deep. So when you see the water here in Genesis, he is not only talking about a physical dimension of the water in the ocean, he is talking about what is under the earth. In the New Testament, we'll go there in just a minute in Matthew chapter 16, it is what we would refer to as hell. So when he says we have given them dominion over the sea, he is saying we have given them dominion to what is under the earth. Then he said we've given them dominion and we've created them with dominion to have dominion in the air. That would be what we call the heavens. And then he said, we've given them dominion on the earth. I am here to announce to you and encourage you that God has created you with authority and dominion in every dimension that there is on this earth. That you have dominion not only on earth, you've got dominion in heaven. But not only on earth and in heaven, you've got dominion in hell, which means hell, even though we don't go there, that is a place, amen, that we own, and the devil's just rent that space from us. It's a home invasion. It's where he lives. I ain't never gonna live there, are you? But what happens is he takes stuff and steals stuff and he takes it down to hell. That's why the Bible would say things like, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. What the enemy has tried to establish against you from hell will not stand. That means everything in hell that the devil's stolen from you, you have the ability to go down and grab back. But it also means this, that there is nothing in hell that the devil has planned for you that will work if you understand the authority that God has placed in you. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. Remember what he said in verse 26. He's talking to himself and said, let us make man in our image. The first thing for somebody that understands who they are in Christ, understand that God's been talking about you. Before God talks to you, God has talked about you. That ought to make you happy. And when God talks about you, he's not shaking his head. When God talks about you, he's not disappointed and angry. When God talks about you, he talks about what he created you to be, not what you look like today. So when God talks about Brandon, it's about the promises of God that have yet to be fulfilled. When God talks about Brandon, he's leaning over to Gabriel and Michael, telling about all the good things that he has declared into my life, purposed into my life, things that I was born with. Because remember, God has been thinking about you before you were in your mother's womb. God had a plan for you before you were ever a thought. So the first thing he does, he talks about you. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them. First thing he does is talks about you. Second thing he does, he talks to you. When God talks to you, you should celebrate God talking to you, because this is the first time he's actually talked to you. But for the last 100 years, he's been talking about you. What he's talked about, now he is delivering to you. That means what he has literally put in the atmosphere, he is now ready for you to get in your life. Can I encourage you, in 2018, there's a lot of great things that God has said about you that are flowing all around you. They're flowing down Main Street. They're coming in your living room. They're in your car. And you didn't know that God was talking about you. But I heard a rumor that God's got some good things in store for your 2018. But I'm here to tell you, listen up, Church of God, because the same God that's been talking about you is getting ready to talk to you. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Subdue, that's another dominion word, that's another authority word. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we know that God talks about us, then we know that God talks to us, and then he talks about the three dimensions, the air, the earth, and all of the ocean. So we know that he's talking about heaven, hell, and earth. And when you understand that the same God that has set a place for you in heaven, the same God that went down and fought all of hell when he laid dead for 3 days, the same God that's standing on earth, he's in all three places at once. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what state you are in your life, it doesn't matter what season you are in your life, there is a God that has placed all authority in you. And when you tap into that authority and you open up your mouth to cast out devils, to take dominion, something good comes out of that. That's Old Testament. Somebody say Old Testament. Let's go New Testament. Everything that is shadowed in the Old Testament, there is substance in the New Testament. Matthew 16:16, and Simon answered Jesus' question of whom do men say that I am? And Simon said, I know who you are. You are Jesus, Son of the living God. And Jesus returned to Simon and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for you did not hear this from man, but the Holy Spirit, God himself, revealed this to you. And no longer you, Simon the waver, but you are now Peter the rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. When we talk about prevail, gates don't move. Gates are designed to keep something in or to keep something out. So when Jesus drops his revelation on Peter, and Peter said, I know who you are, the knowing and understanding and the revelation of who Jesus is, the Son of God, the only way to get to heaven, the revelation of that gives him an ability that nobody even knew was available. He said, there are gates in hell that are designed to keep you out of taking every good thing that the devil has taken from you. Some things you knew about, some things you didn't. But he said, because you've had this revelation, guess what, Peter? The gates of hell will not prevail against you. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, come on, that's authority, will be loosed in heaven. There it is again in Matthew 16. Heaven, earth, and hell. When you understand those three dimensions are the only three dimensions you can ever be in. But God said, whatever place you're in, if you're in hell, he said, you can loose things and they're going to be loosed wherever you are. If you're on earth, wherever you loose things can be loosed wherever you are at. When I'm down, I have authority. When I'm up, I have authority. When I've got the most money I've ever had, I've got authority. When I'm broke and I don't have two pennies to rub together, I have authority. And when you have authority, listen to this, it doesn't matter what happens in your life. You show me a believer with authority, and they might have been knocked down, but they're getting back up. You might be Job. You might have had your kids taken from you. Your house might have fallen flat. Your wife and friends turned their backs on you. You've got boils all over your body, but you're still saying, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. Why? Because the same God who gave it all to me, he's given me authority to claim and take whatever I need. Many of our nation's millionaires went from rags to riches, to rags back to riches, to rags back to riches. When you read some of their stories, they were millionaires, then lost it all. Then became millionaires again. And that teaches us the principle that I'm preaching, that once you've obtained it and you understand how you got it, come on now, at any place in your life, when you've got the Word of God and you've got the faith and you've got the identity of who Jesus is and you've got all the tools that God has given you, you can say, devil, hit me with your best shot, because I've got enough authority to put you back into your place and get everything you stole and more from God. Somebody say authority. Somebody say authority. Power and authority, two different things. Gun is power. Badge is authority. When you've got authority, things change. Pastor preached magnificent, Bishop preached a magnificent message at 9 a.m. on the authority and how the centurion understood authority and he understood who Jesus was. Can I tell you, church, that we got to start walking in authority and not just celebrate it on Sunday, but you need to walk into your homes this afternoon and operate in authority. And listen, it's more than cracking some DVDs and throwing away some dirty magazines. You've got to go home and anoint your home. You've got to go home and take authority and say, listen, if I'm going to operate in dominion and authority and the redial that God has created me with, then I'm going to go home, I'm going to put the devil on the run, I'm going to give him his eviction notice, and I'm going to make sure that everything that God has called me to say, has called me to do, is done. My Catholic counterparts, they have exorcisms, but an exorcism can only be done by a priest. See, I'm glad that we don't live under that. I'm glad that I don't have to wait for Bishop Jakes, because the line would be pretty long. I'm glad that I don't have to have Joel Osteen come smile my demons away. Love Pastor Joel. I'm glad that our friend Benny Hinn, I don't have to wait and get on the waiting list for him to come and blow the demons out of my house. But whenever I feel something, and whenever something's not right, whenever I walk in the room and my children have a fever, whenever I walk home and I just say something, Mandy, is not right in this house, I don't have to call on anybody but the Jesus that is in me. And when I call on that name, I better have something to back up that name. I'm not mimicking. I'm not parroting. I'm speaking something that I know. Have you ever been around a parrot? They're annoying. They can learn. And I watched a documentary a few years ago called Population Zero. And if everybody was removed off of the earth, how long it would take for society, not society, but buildings to collapse, and how long it would take to go back to the natural state of the earth. And they said it would be hundreds of years before the English language ever died, after humans left, because of parrots. But parrots have memorized words, not meaning. They only mimic what they've heard over and over and over again. See, the problem with a church like Living Way is you get around a lot of faith-filled people. And just because you're around faith-filled people doesn't mean you have faith. Just because you're shoulder to shoulder with powerful people doesn't mean you have power. Just because somebody slings some anointing your way doesn't mean you're anointed. And so when we leave this house and go to our house, our school, our job, and it's time for us to speak something, we only speak something we have heard and not speak something we know. It's not what Bishop knows that's going to save you. It's not what your most spirit-filled friend, it's not what they quote that's going to heal you. It's what you know. It's what you've experienced. It's what you've encountered. Not the Jesus that Brandon knows, the Jesus that you know. You say, well, you've evidently encountered and experienced in him a different way. That's called the Bible. Matthew experienced him a different way than Mark. That's why we got both their books. Luke experienced a different way than John. That's why we've got the two other books. It is four eyewitness accounts of how Jesus revolutionized their life. And if you ever meet Jesus on your own and not in a group, it will change you in such a way that the next time you have something wrong in your life, you can speak with authority, not mimicking, not parodying, but speaking in authority what you have learned, what you have meditated on, what you have perfected in your life. Man, I was listening to a great preacher this week, and he fired me up because he was preaching stuff that I had heard before, but I never had the revelation. Sitting in my office, hearing this guy just spout the revelation of what God had given him, and I said, God, that's a level I don't live at yet. See, and I'm not too proud to tell you as a pastor of 18 years that I still don't know some things. There's some things that I hear that I'm saying that I need to know that because I'm eventually going to need that in my life when the devil tries to creep up, pop up, show up in my life. I need to be skilled in that. That's why David would say, Saul, with all due respect, I can't wear your armor because I have not proved it. Come on, that's a good word there. What you don't prove will not work for you. That's why these seven sons of Sceva walk up to an evil spirit and they say, you need to come out of him in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And he said, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but I don't know you. You're just a parrot. You're just annoying me. And when you annoy an evil spirit, you better get ready because that evil spirit can do some damage on somebody that ain't covered and somebody that don't know the authority and power that God has given them. Somebody say amen. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Understand this, children of God. The day you got saved, God gave you keys. The day you were saved. Billy Graham Crusade, 50-yard line, he gave you keys. Living Way Church, Wednesday night, you walk an aisle, get saved, he gave you keys. Dorm room in college, knelt beside your bed, you received keys. What are you doing with the keys? I was here on Thursday night. We were working around with some people here at the church, and they said, we need to get into such and such room. And I said, yeah, we do need to get in there, but I said, I got a problem. I don't have keys. Well, you're the pastor. Well, in reality, I have keys. I just don't know which one's which. I got hundreds of keys. And it only is a problem when I need to get into a room that I do not have access to. The only time your keys become a problem is when you have not used them enough and when you have not accessed what you need. Listen, sometimes you've got to just make sure the door opens when you don't need it, when you don't need access, when you don't need your miracle. That's why you ought to pray at all times, not just when you need a miracle. That means you got to praise at all times, not just when you need something from God. That's why you got to worship. You got to do all of these things. Get in the Word of God. Come to church when you don't. Why? Because I'm checking my keys, making sure they work. But the only time we start fumbling with keys is when we got to get in the room. Because we need something. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We're introduced to the three keys again. Let's go back to Acts chapter 19 in closing. And God wrought special miracles. This is what precedes the story and account of the sons of Sceva. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. How many of you know it wasn't Paul? It was the God in Paul. It was the authority that Paul tapped into. When Paul would lay his hands on the sick, they would get up. When Paul would speak, deliverance would happen. Paul could go in to places. The apostles' shadows were bringing people off of their sick beds, bringing deliverance to them, all because of authority. Authority is not just words only. Authority is presence. Your presence in a situation should change that situation. Your presence at your job should keep. Listen, they might have been getting ready to foreclose or bankrupt that business. That business might have been ready to close, but here they hired you right at the end. And now God said, nope, not going to let that bank or not going to let that bank take that business. I'm not going to let that business go under. Why? Because now there's somebody with authority that has stepped in. I am here to declare to you, if you are a person of authority, you can get things done that nobody else can get done. You can keep things afloat that nobody else can keep afloat. So that from his body, verse 12, were brought unto him, unto the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Somebody say authority. Somebody say anointing. Both of those words you have access to. If you want to be anointed, get anointed. If you want authority, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have that authority. And Paul has demonstrated here in Acts chapter 19 that when he lays his hands on a situation, that transformation comes. He has demonstrated that literally the clothes from his body, not him, but the God in him, that they can take clothes from his bodies that are representative of the authority and the anointing that Paul walks in, and they send them and take them to the sick, and they take them to the oppressed and possessed, and people are getting delivered. People are getting healed from the clothes. And so here we catch up with the story of the sons of Sceva. Seven sons, vagabond Jews. Vagabond means those who vacillate, meaning go one from one thing to the next, and those that wander, they have no purpose. Can I talk to the vagabonds in the room today? There might be a couple that you're in one day and out the next. You're high one day and low the next. God has not called you to be a needle going back and forth all the time. God has called you to be planted. God has called you to be firm in your faith. God has called you not to waver like the world wavers. The world wavers because they don't know Jesus. The world wavers because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But for us, we are that kind that we don't waver in the face of adversity. We are like modern day Pauls. We are modern day disciples and apostles saying, I've been with Jesus, and what I've been with Jesus keeps me founded. One who vacillates, certain vagabond Jews, exorcists. Man, I looked up the word exorcist in the Greek, and it means one who binds by oaths or curses. The problem with exorcists is they only bind, they cannot loose. The problem with a lot of people I know in church today is they're very one-dimensional in what they do. They can praise good, but they ain't good for prayer. They can pray in the corner. They can pray by themselves, but they never worship. They read the Bible, but they don't attend church. Come on now. They're good at one part of it, but exorcists had not tapped into the spirit and being able to loose things. And I'm going to tell you the problem with binding things without loosing them. If you bind something but you don't cast it out, I don't want it bound in my house. If I bind something, I want it cast out because I don't want to hear it moan. I don't want to hear it groan and complain. And the things of this world can only bind you. They can only numb you. They can only callous you. But thanks be to God for the authority and dominion that he has given us, that when we step into adversity, we can bind it, but we can loose the goodness of God. We can bind the spirit of death and loose the spirit of life. I don't want to bind it only. I want to loose. I don't want to bind sickness and not loose healing. I don't want to bind depression and not loose joy. Because when we bind something, we are bringing it to a halt. But unless you start something after you have bound something, the Bible says that when the evil spirit was cast out, they made room, and the room that they made actually gave place to spirit seven times more evil than itself, and the latter state was worse than the former state. I believe that that is a prophetic declaration of what we see here in Acts chapter 19 with the seven sons of Sceva. Here we see it. Seven sons that don't know the power that God has given them. They only know the power through somebody. It's not through the Baptist denomination. It's not through the Catholic Church. It's not through Pentecostals. It's not through the Assembly of God. It's through Jesus Christ. When you say Jesus, yes, sir, Holy Ghost. When you say Jesus, when you get the Holy Ghost, you've got all authority, all dominion, everything that you need. Let me point out one more thing to you. There were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on him. One man whipped seven men. One man whipped seven men and took their clothes. I don't know about you, but after I see man 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 naked and getting whipped, I ain't too proud to run. I'm out. I'm going to church and figuring out what went wrong. One man beat seven. Here's what God showed me. It says the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Four things happened in verse 16. The evil spirit leapt. The evil spirit overcame, the evil spirit prevailed, and the man fled. Men fled. Acts chapter 3:8 says, when the man was healed at the gate beautiful, he went up walking and leaping into the temple, praising God. If you don't leap in praise, and if you don't praise, the enemy will use the same tactic that you're supposed to use to overcome you. And you can't walk into a gunfight with a knife. And a lot of us are walking toe-to-toe with the adversary. And we have not tapped into the authority and the dominion that God has given us. And if one person's going and leaping, it's the child of God. I'm going into the battle praising God. I'm going into the exorcism praising God. Why? Because I know a God. I'm not praising a God I don't know. Second thing, it said the evil spirit overcame them. Revelation 12:11 says, and they, the people of God, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. I'm here to tell you, you are overcomers in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And if you don't act like an overcomer, the devil will overcome you. You, listen, you as an overcomer is greater than anything the enemy has to say. My Bible, your Bible says that we are more than conquerors. When we step out on the battlefield, we are guaranteed victory. If you don't walk as an overcomer, if you don't talk like an overcomer, the same spirit you come against will overcome you. It leapt on them. It overcame them. It prevailed against them. We already read it. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against. Does hell know your name? Are you prevailed against? Or do you push through? When all hell breaks loose, are you saying, I hope this prayer works? Where's my phone? I got to call Living Way. I got to call Miss Cleo. Wait, she's dead. I got to call another 900 number. I wonder if she saw that coming. Just kidding. Too soon. One of us is going to prevail, and it's the first one that attacks. I'm not sitting back waiting on the adversary. I'm attacking the adversary. Every day I wake up and I glorify God and I remind the devil who he's not and who God is. I remind the devil what God has promised me, where God has brought me from, that I am a prevailer. I am an overcomer. That what the devil has planned for me is not going to work. And when I open up my mouth and I say, in the name of Jesus, you don't have a right. He doesn't say, I don't know who you are. He says, Brandon, I've been worried about you. The last few years, your faith has been growing. Your praise has been growing. Your worship has doubled. I don't know what to do with you. And I'm here to tell you, as a prevailer, he can't prevail against me. Stand on your feet. One more. And the Bible says that the seven fled out of the house naked and wounded. The roles in this story are reversed, because we're the leapers, we're the overcomers, and we're the prevailers. We don't run, we stand our ground. But in this story, the devil was the prevailer, the leaper, and the overcomer, and the seven sons fled. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We've got to get the roles switched back to how God created us to be. We've got way too many believers running in the face of adversity. I gave you the story of my dear friend who is in this room right now, who has been healed of cancer in the last 3 weeks. And I'm going to tell you that since he got that report, he's been at every service at Living Way. But I'm going to tell you something even better than that. Before he got that report, he was at every service at Living Way. Why? Because we were creating an overcomer. We were creating a prevailer. We were creating a praiser, a leaper. We were creating somebody that could put the devil on the run. And when that old C word creeped up in December and I met him to pray with him in the lobby, I'm here to tell you, when we said in the name of Jesus, it wasn't, I don't know who Brandon is. I don't know. He said, I know Living Way and I know that you mean business, and cancer cannot stay. And guess what? Cancer fled. Heaven knows my name. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hell knows my name. I'm at the top of their hit list. They know me. They know a lot of you, because you shake the gates of heaven and hell with your praise, your worship, your prayer. And when you speak, authority is heard. When authority is heard, transformation happens. If you speak and nothing happens, it's an authority issue, not a word issue. I want to open up this altar right now for my friends, my family, anyone in this room today, that what I preach today has...